Michigan Liberation is a statewide network of people and organizations organizing to end the criminalization of Black families and communities of color in Michigan. We envision a state without mass incarceration, mass policing, and punishment. We envision a state with the best public education in the nation, single-payer health care, and thriving Black and brown communities. Here, on the Respect the Roots podcast, we will lift up the stories and experiences of those impacted by mass incarceration, collective ties to the criminal legal system, and the frontline efforts to end mass incarceration.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Respect the Roots, Michigan Liberation's podcast. Amazing podcast at that, y'all. We are at part two. Oh, man, we had to do a part two on this one. I'm in the studio still with my brothers, men of God, Reverend Spira, and also, I was about to do in another tongue, y'all, Elder Orlando. I was about to put that tongue on it.
All right, take your time.
I don't know which one.
Take your time. We're a record up in there. You better slow it up.
I didn't know what I was about to spill off into, but yeah, I was about to really go into it. Yeah. And we talked about in the first episode, gentlemen, the prison ministry at Macomb Prison, the mentoring program that is called the Shadow Step and everything. And we talked about that's your internal prison ministry and everything. And while we was offline, we was talking about Elder Orlando. You don't look like what you've been through type of story. Mm-hmm. Please tell us. You got to tell everybody. You have what you want to call it?
A powerful testimony / resurrection from the dead / it's powerful. And the reason why I'm so called to prison ministry is because I sat where they sat in the streets of Detroit. If you born and raised in Detroit, you heard about the Young Boys Incorporated.
Oh yeah,
right back in the day, I was one of the lieutenants of the Young Boys Incorporated. I grew up on Linwood and Davison. I grew up in the streets of Detroit. But God saved me and raised me up and then told me to go back and get those that you left behind.
Right.
And then I partnered up with Reverend Sproul, and we've just been powerful in the prison ministry. And when we go to the jails, they can hear real. They can hear the Spirit of God behind the real.
Right.
Versus you just talking it, and they know that you ain't really been through it. So
right.
That's what's so powerful about the ministry God has wrought in my life. And when we partnered up with Hope and the Wayne County Jail Outreach Ministries with the mentorship program in the jails and a mentorship program outside the jails, at the same time when they hit their feet on the concrete, we can give them clothes, we can give them food, we can give them bus tickets, we can point them in directions of classes. So they not only just talking about it, we able to deal with the holistic approach of the man. So the reason why it's so powerful to me and I have to hold myself together is because God has done so much for me.
Right, because you start off as a firefighter.
Yeah. I started off in the city of Detroit running the streets and then became a firefighter.
Right.
Right, at 23 years old.
Right.
And was in the academy, and they said Detroit Fire Department don't take felons because they found a felony on my record. And then I end up running the whole department that I was once kicked out of.
Say it again.
I said I became, I end up running the whole fire department. 8 years as a firefighter, 8 years as a lieutenant, 4 years as a captain, 2 years as the chief, and 1 year as the deputy fire commissioner appointed by Mayor Duggan, all from an ex-felon.
Where they do that at?
Uh-huh. Because that's where God raised me up. And then I meet a Reverend Sproul, and then prison ministry became my pedigree since 2003. Not the big pulpits and all that. No, go back to the prison where I brought you from and go
right.
get them. And that's where all of everything I do is intertwined with that.
Yeah.
Based on the mentorship program, based on working with Hope, based on the Wayne County executive director over the jails who once was in jail.
Wow.
I hope y'all hearing that. Y'all about to get happy up here. I said the person who once was in jail is now the executive director over the jail ministry.
Right.
Yeah.
Won't he do it?
Ain't nothing but he God. You got to respect the roots. I'm gone now. You got to be rooted and grounded. Because the truth of the matter is, let me just say this right. Okay. The truth of the matter is, a lot of times we picking up leaves. When we dealing with folk, we just picking up the leaves of their life. But we never deal with the root of what's causing that tree to produce the leaves.
Right.
And we just picking up leaves every year unless we deal with the holistic approach and deal with the root of that tree. That tree going to produce leaves again.
Right.
So we have to respect the roots, be rooted and grounded in God. And then guess what? Here comes hope. Here comes the Wayne County Jail Outreach Ministries. Here comes the Mentorship Shadow Step Program. I'm gone now. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying?
If you tune in, we go past the collection plate in a few minutes. That's real talk.
Yeah,
that's
real talk. A sign that says Michigan Liberations.
Yes.
You got to be liberated.
That's right.
Okay? And we have to deal with the roots of that person as opposed to just keep picking up leaves every year. I always tell them it's about a season.
That's right.
Because we can look out there and see some trees now that look like they dead. Check them out in July. Because they still rooted.
Yeah.
And long as the root is still connected and you respect the roots, you'll be liberated. We're rough now.
Oh, boy, we're going to have to use that one. I'm in here now. I'm like, oh, boy, let me you might use that. Hashtag. Man, thank you, Elder Orlando. We got Reverend Spruill up in here. If you please check out our other episode where we talk about prison ministry, the Macomb Prison Mentoring Program. Which is specifically called Shadow Step. Yes, but now we want to go into Hope Ministries. Because, see, what we're looking at, we're being positive, gentlemen, everyone in here. We have a person who has served their time or some time. Because I've been corrected. Somebody said, I did somebody else's time. I said, oh, excuse me. Okay. You did time. And now you're getting ready to be liberated, or you're about to be released.
Amen.
What happens? Tell us about Hope Ministries and the overview. First of all, how did you come up with it and the programs that you have going on?
Well, HOPE is an acronym for Helping Operations for People Empowerment. Okay. It was a partnership with the Tabernacle Baptist Church.
Okay.
And designed through the outreach work in the community. And so happened, prison ministry is part of the outreach of the church, okay?
Right.
We are designed to, our mission is to empower people and community to change from brokenness to wholeness. It's about making a person whole again. Where they've been broken. Wholeness is the key. And so God wants to be whole again. And he gives us tools. He places people to make them whole once again. And so that's what we're designed to do, make that person whole.
Right.
Broken community, broken people, but wholeness is possible, not through the church, not through me, but through God.
Right.
God uses the church and uses hope to make that person and community whole again. And we have those programs I'll share later on that we do in the community, hopefully to bring about wholeness within the community as well.
Now, first tell us, where is Hope Ministries located? Because both of you have offices
there. We're both in the same, but as I said in the other broadcast, we're right around the corner, 8642 Woodward Avenue.
On the corner of Alger and Woodward.
Which is near Chicago and Woodward. If some of y'all that need a cross street.
You can get a little, bring a little bit
take
further.
Chicago
a block
straight
with
down
Little Rock Baptist Woodward Church. Have you? Bring it closer. Cross the street from People's Community Church.
Right.
You know.
That's a good landmark.
We bring in a landmark. Car wash right across the street.
right. And also, right now, we're going to do it again, but give your number where people can reach you.
Our phone number is 313-897-5503.
Again, Reverend Spruill, you know we got some people who didn't have their pen and paper.
I know, I got them. I got you. 313-897-5503.
All right, good. Now, we're talking about Hope Ministries overview and programs. One of the things I want, let's get to the nitty gritty of it all, because we just had Elder Orlando. I'm about to make him a bishop. I don't even know the ranking, but it's like, you know, he done preached. Now we got to bring it on home. You know, we got to get these people to hope. You know what I mean? Get them some hope. And yeah. I've been there, and I have every time I've been to your office, your facility, I've been amazed. Mm-hmm. The first time we actually did an expungement fair, Michigan Liberation did several expungement fairs there,
yes, uh-huh.
but we were on that first level where your mm-hmm. offices are.
Mm-hmm.
Then another time I came, I actually went upstairs, and mm-hmm. I was blown away because, mm-hmm. and I want you to go into detail. And then I went downstairs, and I said to myself, my God,
mm-hmm.
it's like mm-hmm. a hidden gem.
Yes.
Yeah. And right in that one facility, and here's another thing, there was no, okay, who you here for, like any type of judgment.
Right.
I didn't feel like, I didn't see where people had to have an appointment necessarily, or you turn people away.
Mm-hmm.
It was always open doors.
Yes.
Anytime, you know, any of us
and
came.
Yes, in. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to talk about all the different. Walk us through the building, the Hope Ministries building, or, you know, right there.
Well, we have, as I said earlier, we about making people whole again. And so when an individual come home, sometimes we had a young know, come home about 8 months ago. They had came home with their tan clothes they had in prison. We call them grave clothes.
Grave clothes.
Oh, so you had a gentleman come with his jumpsuit
straight from prison.
See,
from prison.
I think this is the key. We want the guy, and we tell him all the time, the day your foot hit the pavement, come directly to the Center for the Works of Mercy.
Okay.
To see Elder O'Lanley and Reverend Sproul. The reason why, we want to get you before you get home and get, you know, everybody, you know, because we want to sit down, okay, find out what your needs are, clothes, food, like I say, Medicare, all that need to be all to get be in place, you know, those type of needs, you know. Find just where the person is at, okay. Do they need the clothes, do they need the food, okay. Then we talked about remind them, okay, now, you know, you when you was in incarcerated, you know, you said you love the Lord, you know, you still have to continue to read your Bible, you know. Same God you're serving, the same God is out here, you know. But you got, you know, you really got to be diligent now. You got focus now, you know. So we encourage them to stay focused. So if they need dental care, if they need eyeglasses, we had to give eyeglasses once a month, you know, there. You know, okay, we are every day. I don't have money right now coming in. Every day because the soup kitchen now, they can come every day and get food at 11:30. I think it's 11:30 to 12:30 to come get a hot meal every day, okay? Got case manager desk. Well, you know, you need those type of services as well. If you need furniture, Hope will help you get furniture as well, okay? We teach the financial piece of the very important, because we start working, and a lot of guys are working, they can't handle money. And our thing is, what we want to address the spiritual need,
right,
but also the physical need.
Right.
In no sense of a guy working and never having any money. Okay, so we're talking about how to open a bank account. Some guy never had a bank account. All they know is go to the corner store, buy some beer, the guy cash a check for him, take a large percentage of his check, you know. So, no, how to open a bank account, how to write a check, you know, those things that they never had before. So encourage them along the way, hey, this is what you need to do to stay functional out here, you know.
Right.
And encourage them, stay with us. We're going to walk with you. Call us, you know, and so forth. So that's what we do there. That's, you know,
one stop shop,
pretty much.
And that is rare.
And what I want to say, right next to Hope is the Wayne County Jail Outreach Ministry, where we wait on them to come out of jail. As soon as they come out of jail, they can come there and get whatever they need. So right next to Hope
mm-hmm.
is the Wayne County Jail Outreach Ministries that the judges from downtown is sending them to me as a prerequisite for their probation or they sentence, you must report to the Wayne County Jail Outreach Ministries and get involved with them and on them. So as soon as they step there, we got multiple dental care. They can get food, they can get clothes, everything they need. So they can either go to Hope or they can come to the Wayne County Jail Outreach Ministries. And our clientele or demographics is being sent by 13, 14 judges downtown that would write up the order that you're going to be on 6 months probation, but you must report to the Wayne County Jail Outreach Ministry, which is a one-stop shop.
Okay.
Amen.
Right
yeah.
next to Hope.
Well, if you just joining us, I'm speaking with Reverend Sproul and Elder Orlando, who are part of Hope Ministries, but mm-hmm. also I want to take this time. We did it in the first episode that we did. Mm-hmm. And please make sure that you check it out, everyone. It was the prison ministry. The difference between jail and prison ministry. Let's go back over that, because you're dealing with the jail ministry.
With the Wayne County Jail Outreach Ministry. That's right. The jails.
The jail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're dealing more with the prison.
Yes,
okay,
uh-huh.
And let's
mm-hmm.
talk about just briefly the difference, how the maximum amount of time, because some mm-hmm. people, and I hate to say this, especially family members, have mm-hmm. no clue that there's a maximum amount of time that you serve in jail mm-hmm. versus
right.
prison where you...
Particularly in Wayne County. So they're at the max, stay down there for a year and 6 months at the max.
That's it.
Going back and forth to court. He didn't violate his probation, 90 days, DUI, 90 days, or whatever the case may be. So they just, their maximum 1 year and 6 months, court cases and all that. Once they get a sentence of 5 to 10 to 15 years, now they're being hauled from the county jail to the prison. Then those folk out there are now there for 5, 10, 15 years. That's your room, that's where you're gonna be. And you're going to do your time. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. And the mindset between the jailer and the prisoner is totally different.
Okay.
Totally different.
Because you're getting the ones from, you know, jail.
From the jail.
Okay. But now the mind, you said, is different. And how what would you mean by that?
Totally different because, he may already have a job. He may already was doing okay in the community. He just was drunk driving or whatever. Now he's down there for 30 to 90 days or a year or so. So he just raring to get out. You don't necessarily need the clothes.
Right.
You don't necessarily need all of the services that we have to offer. Because like what Rev was just saying, we just got someone directly out of prison. He came soon as they let him out. He still had on the grave clothes. And he didn't have nothing.
Right. Because you had even said, and we was, not, you know, mm-hmm. some of them don't, for example, and let's just be real, they're not aware that we don't have pay phones no more.
Exactly.
Now we got the smart and dumb phones or whatever call it.
Yeah.
So. What are you, okay, we got a clear understanding of what you're dealing with, because like you said, they kind of like short-term, in and out.
Exactly.
But what about the ones, the brothers, they've been in for about 10, 15, 20 years.
We got guys that's coming home now that soon that's been in 28 years when they were 18 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. This individual needs is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
What skill does he have? And the mindset, you know. Now, we have a bakery, Hope does. We train guys how to bake. And it's more or less like a transition opportunity for them to make some money. Teach them a skill while they're looking for other jobs. But
right.
everyone wants some money in their pocket.
Well, I got to interrupt him. I'm going to put a... I've had some of their baked goods, and they are good. Okay? Just plugging it.
I'm just trying to...
Not what I think, is what I know. Okay.
Right, exactly. And so when a guy come home, look, okay... Oh, I need a job. I need some money. So we can give a job at a bakery. We train them how to bake.
Right.
And the proceeds from the bakery goes back into the program. But we teach them a skill, too. Okay. Once he's getting his checks, okay, man, we sit down and say, okay, you got X amount of dollars. This is what you need. They say you owe whatever you owe, blah, blah, blah. It come back to that budget again. Okay.
Right.
Skill set from that transfer, again, from that transforming from incarceration back into the community, give them some money to keep in their pocket, teach them
right.
the skill at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's about job. And it's what we teach them, job readiness, resume preparation, those type of things. Get them ready. So you have to get interviewed ready to work. And when a guy gone that long, is he just overwhelmed by what's out there? Because he went away, things were totally different.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Some guys were incarcerated longer. I've been in college longer than they have been in the world. So
right.
coming home, this is like, and they admit that I was gone X amount of years, and I came in 18 or 17 years old. Now I'm 50-something years old. All I know is three hots in the cot. Mm-hmm. One gentleman shared with us, and this is a true story. He said, I can't wait to get out, just see the stars. Because in here, the lights are such position where I can't even see the stars at night. I just want to be out, get out, and just be able to see the stars.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Simple things.
I've been gone since I've been 17 or 18 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And then and coming back home to the family. Family counseling is very important.
Wow.
You want to come back home and be the man, and you've been gone.
Right. And you talk
things
about
have changed. I mean, the family, wait, hey, mm-hmm. You don't run things here. We were eating and sleeping and providing while he was gone. Right. Slow your roll. That's why you got to work with the family.
And before we get into it, we got about 8 more minutes because time be going by, don't it?
I'm telling you.
And let me show And I also definitely want to give the contact information again because definitely at the end. But I want to. You touched on something that we talked about in another podcast episode, the impact of the family. Because sometimes I know we focus a lot on the individual, which is key, but the impact on the family, you know, whether it's children, a spouse, or how has that been? Do you provide any type of resource for that or counseling or, you know?
What I like for to do when inmate come home is bring his family as well. So we can sit down and talk about how to help him navigate coming home. What his role is going to be and what their role going to be and kind of what they're going to expect as well and about being patient, okay? Many times, family's not, you know, it's kind of like, okay, they've been going X amount of years. We're glad to have my home, blah, blah, blah. Now what we do?
Yeah.
Okay, he don't have he don't have any skills. Can't get a job right away. So we have to feed him, have the clothing in the meantime. So we got to work where he's at. You got to meet the individual where they're at. Be patient and walk with them, okay? And so that's been a challenge for a lot of families, especially got kids. And I know a gentleman gone, he was gone what, 10, 12 years. His kid was like 2 years old when he left. You know, now the kid 10 years old. Daddy's back home, you know? And mama been providing, you know? And so now mama got to provide for him and for him, and for the kid and for the you know, for the person. So it's, a, you know, it's a lot of work that comes in place. With that, you know, so everybody have a role in this, you know. Inmate has, I mean, the person come on have their role, and the family have their role too, to what to expect. We walk alongside the family,
right?
You know, to make you know, it's time consuming, but it's what we enjoy doing. That's you know where the other piece come in. Walk along the family, help them to accept the individual home. What all entails, got to work together. It's gonna take time to blend that family back together. Okay, because the family mind. When he left here, he was selling drugs. Is he still going to sell drugs?
Right.
You know, they still curious. You know, has he really changed? Like, I don't know. I know you're home, like, but when he left here, you know, he was doing some everything. I don't know. You know,
job,
still skeptical. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's what we got to tell the family. You got to walk with him, you know. That's where it's sitting down. What is his long short-term goals? What is his long-term goal? Where is the plan?
Right.
How are we going to make this transition?
Right.
Not only back in the community, now in your family. How are we going to make this work?
Right.
What we got to do?
Right, y'all.
Let's talk about it, you know.
Right. We got Reverend Spurrell and Elder Orlando. We're talking about Hope Ministry. We're talking about once the person has been liberated, they're released from prison. And also, I know you, Elder Orlando, you're working with those in the Wayne County jails and everything. So I definitely, we got about 5 minutes. I want to give your contact information, but I also want to know, just curious, what are some of the major concerns that you're seeing or issues when these people are released? And then also food for thought. Because when I say food for thought, how people can get involved and what you need. Because that's going to be the number one question. What are they? What's the takeaway? What's the, you know, the action here?
What we're seeing, and that's why we encourage and mentoring piece, is that a lot of guys coming home is keeping them accountable to their short-term goals, their long-term goals. Keep them accountable about, hey, you know, you can't go back to the old way of living. You know, that's a challenge for many of them. Sometimes the family members, we discover that some family give too much.
Enable.
Right away. Yeah. They enable them. You know, they got everything, you know, and they can't handle it. Okay? And so it's about working with them and what to expect. You know, one thing is that always, like I said before earlier, that 95% of some are on some type of substance when they went in. Now they home again. So when things don't go their way or like get disarray or whatever happened, they finally going back to the old style of substance and use again.
Right.
And that's a setback not only for him but for the family. So I always remind the guys, you're just not taking yourself down. You're taking the family down as well.
Family down. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
and so it's about keeping that brother encouraged. You know, you cannot be using. and remind them, I reminded them last Sunday, that MDOC, is, okay, it's not your God.
Okay.
That's a structured environment.
Right.
Now you're free. God, come on now. Should be your, it keeps you, is your structure, is your anchor. Now you're going to tell me that you're home now and you won't go back to do the rock and go back getting high and all that kind of, you're saying to me that your substance, that rock or that alcohol is more powerful than the God that you professed while you was incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Now you out. Now you trying to tell me that MDOC was your God? Well, it's the God that you confess with your mouth. We do altar call and open the doors of the church for them to come to give the life to Christ. Now, what's more powerful, that right. drug or the God? I'm here to tell you that God is more powerful
right.
than that drug.
And that's why if you got keep it real,
and we say, don't be playing. Don't play with God.
Right.
That's Elder always, don't play.
He said, well, don't
play. Elder take it a step further and tell him, I'll let Elder say what mm-hmm. you tell him. Go and tell him, Elder, what you tell him on Sunday.
If you're going to play with God, don't come to the church.
Period.
If you're going to play, just don't come.
Right.
All right? Because the bottom line is that in order, it has to be a total change. A total change.
Transformation.
And a total transformation. Because if not, he's going to go right back to the weak, beggarly elements of the world. He's going to go back to what he's used to.
Right.
Unless we deal with recidivism, returning citizens, restorative justice, all of the R's. And he makes sure he has the pillars of success, which we all need. Employment, housing, transportation, medical care, and some support system that surrounds us. Unless those pillars are in place,
right.
he's going to go back to the weak, beggarly elements of this world, what he used to. He went in and there was an 8-track, and he come out, we own iPhones.
Right.
He went in, and so it has to be a marrying of time that you lost, which we're going to bring you forward and develop you in all of those areas that we connected to.
Wow.
And that's what we're trying to do, develop him. The total.
The total.
About that inside wholeness, make them
and
whole.
Out. And that's yeah. why, thank you so much, gentlemen, for coming. Can you believe time is up?
Wow.
But I always have a little bit of space because you know we got to tell people Respect the Roots. And now Elder Orlando to put Respect the Roots in a whole other perspective.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, I'm about to listen to that again. Hey, all of us know we need to go ahead and respect the roots in another way. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Respect thank the you. Roots, everybody.
Respect the roots.
All right. Thank you. I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Until next time, I love y'all too. Hey, remember to respect the roots and check out all our podcasts, but definitely this was a 2-part series, all right? We talked about prison ministry, the Macomb Prison mentoring program, and then Hope Ministry. So inside and out.
Yeah.
Till next time. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Michigan Liberation Education Fund, C3, conducts grassroots organizing, leadership development, and civic engagement activities. Michigan Liberation, C4, and Michigan Liberation Action Fund, IE, are sister organizations.